Father, I just thank you for the word. Father, in your word, Lord, you have given us such great and precious promises, Lord. You've shown us who you are and who we are. And I thank you for that, Lord. Father, I ask that the word that goes forth today would have entrance into our hearts and our minds, that we can be transformed, having our minds renewed, Father, in areas that it may not have been renewed in yet. And if it is something that we know, let us be established in it in even a greater dimension, Lord. Father, your elders are surrounding your throne and constantly beholding you, saying, holy, holy, holy. And each time they get up, you reveal a greater level of your glory to them, Lord. Father, there's so much about you that we don't know. But Lord, I ask that today a little bit more revelation and knowledge would be imparted to us, not only in who you are, but who you made us to be, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen. So, just to jump off here, how many of you guys know by heart 2 Corinthians 5:17? You don't need to shout it out, just raise your hand if you know it by heart. Okay. So can we go to 2 Corinthians 5:17? Let's do 16 and 17, if you please. So if you got a Bible or a phone or an iPad, I use an iPad all the time, you guys, but you know what? The Bible verses, and when I'm doing my reading, I like to do it in this, because somehow, maybe because I'm old, but somehow, because seeing it on the pages and when I handwrite my notes, it gets lodged inside of me better than if I just use my iPad. My iPad, when I'm looking at my iPad, I'm seeing a Bible. You know, I know where things are in order in this. And when I use my technology, it's because I'm grounded in this. So I would encourage you that whenever you get a chance, read out of the actual book. So, verse 16, it says, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the what? Flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Basically, what are they saying? They're saying that we used to know Jesus according to the flesh as a man walking on the earth, right? Not because he was never in sin. So you can't think of this as a carnal sinner, right? He's not talking about carnal sinners. It's like we regard no one according to a sinful carnal nature. That's not what he's saying, because Jesus never had that. Are you with me? Are you clear he's talking about physical flesh and blood? Okay? We do not look at anyone according as just typical flesh and blood. Like a horse is just flesh and blood, right? A dog is flesh and blood, okay? Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh as just a regular earthling, yet now we know him thus no longer. So now we don't look at Jesus. These men who walked with him looked at him as a man on the earth, but now they don't look at him that way anymore. Are we clear about that? He's more than just a man. Could we say that about Jesus? He's more than just a man. Okay. 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. What was he talking about in the first verse in 16? The flesh. We knew him according to the flesh, but he's not that way anymore. So for you and I, if we are in Christ, and I think I did a pretty good job last week of letting us know we are in Christ. Are we in agreement? Okay, you did not pay the price for your sins. You cannot be good enough or bad enough to get into heaven. You had nothing to do with it. You can't wreck it. You can't make it better. You can't be good enough to get more of God's approval. and you can't be bad enough to lose any of the full, absolute, unconditional love and approval of God. You are not in the equation. Do you get that? It has nothing at all to do with you. Are you with me on that? Jesus secured every bit of it. And because he did it, the Father sees Jesus when he looks at you, right? It's Jesus that brought us in. It's a gift. We just got an invitation to everlasting life. It's a gift. You didn't earn it. You're not the one that can keep it or lose it. You got to get that down inside of you. It has nothing to do with you as to whether or not you're qualified, loved, accepted, or entitled. Get that in you. Okay, but we have to move on from that point. And here's that point. Even though you did nothing to secure your eternal salvation and your habitation in God, we still walk on the earth and we identify ourselves according to some things. And my hopes is today to really twist your thinking back up where it belongs. So, when old things passed away, it's everything you identify that you have anything at all to do with how valuable you are or whether you're loved and accepted by God. You have nothing to do with it. So all those old things, the way you were raised, the way you were educated, what demographics you grew up in, how rich, how poor, how good-looking, how poor-looking, whatever it is, fat, young, old, skinny, movie star, garbage man. It doesn't matter. We have to really get that in our hearts and minds. All of us have been given 100%. The only thing that says you don't have 100% is you, if you agree with the devil or this world. Okay? So, if verse 17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, are you in Christ? Yes. He is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So the entire way that we are is different now. We're spirit. Are you with me? Okay, now let's go to what I want to talk about. Go into Romans chapter 8. And we've said some significant things over the last two times I taught about Romans chapter 8. And I do want to go on a little bit because it's really important that you and I have nothing to do with whether or not we're accepted or loved by God, but we have everything to do with how we manifest on the earth. Everything to do with it. And a lot of people, even though your sins are forgiven, even though you're anointed, even though you're qualified, even though you're complete in Him, even though you are lacking no good thing, even though the answers to your prayers in Him are yes and amen, even though He's given you all things richly to enjoy, people may not actually believe. And that's an issue. You might not believe that's the truth about you because you're still looking at yourself according to the flesh, and you don't see yourself as a supernatural being. I want you to know you are a supernatural being. That's the only kind you are. That's the only type of person you are anymore, is a supernatural being. And you got to get that in your heart. You need to be able to identify with yourself as being a supernatural being. If the Bible is true, okay? If you don't believe the Bible, don't worry about it. It won't change you. You can stay the way you are. You can cling to whatever doctrine you feel comfortable wearing. But I want to let you know, the Bible gives us a far-reaching example of who we are than any doctrine in a church. Okay? We're going to look at some of those things today. But I really want to get this inside of you. Say this with me. I'm going to ask you to say, I am a supernatural being, okay? And I want you to really say this. I am a supernatural being. Again, I am a supernatural being. I am a supernatural being. Okay? So let's tag on to that. I am a son of God. I am a son of God. All right, all together. I am a son of God. Let's put both of those together. I am a supernatural being. I am a son of God. Okay? This should be your guys' conversation for a while with yourself. You need to renew your mind. You need to really get this settled inside of you, because I promise there's a lot of other things that have had residence inside of us. And the thing is, we can hear things in the Bible, and we can read these little nuptials here and there and here and there. These little nuggets are really good. But if you can't put it together to really see who you are, then these things can't be used. You have to remember them. And if you can't remember them, then you can't access them. But if you understand who you really are and get your identity squared away, then you always have all the information, because it's rooted in how you see yourself. Okay? This is important. So we're going to go to Romans chapter 8. We're going to hit just a couple of scriptures. Okay, I'm going to dance around because I have a point. So let's just jump all the way down to near the end. And I'm going to go in verse, well, I can't do that. I'm going to have to read 31 through 39, okay? And I want to focus on a couple of things. Are you with me? Verse 31, it says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" Let's stop. Is God for you personally? Great. Wonderful that you say that. Now stop and think about it. When things are going really bad, is God for you? When you're in a car accident, is God for you? When you have sickness in your body, is God for you? When you're having financial difficulties, is God for you? If there's something in your body and you get a diagnosis that you're going to die, is God for you? If you have a debilitating situation in your life that your body is not whole and you've had to live with it for years and years and years and years and years, is God for you? Okay, we have to get that settled. So then, is he sadistic? If all those things are bad in our lives and he's still for us, does he not care? We'll look at some things. So if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also, what? Freely give us all things. So, do you think to the disciples when they were standing around and Jesus was being whipped, beaten, scourged, crucified, do you think they knew what God was up to? Even though Jesus said three times that I found in the Bible, it could be more, three times when he said that he would be lifted up and had to die. Even though he told them face to face, it didn't sink in. So even though these terrible, terrible things are happening to Jesus, it pleased God to let that happen. Now, we have hindsight. We have the ability to look back to the cross to see what it was, right? But do you think anybody standing around really knew what God was up to? Mm-mm. Did Jesus know, though? The knowledge he had while that was going through him is the knowledge you need while you're walking through this life. Okay? You need to get this. So, he said he's given us all things richly to enjoy. Is that true? Yes. What are all things? Is health a thing? Yes. Is prosperity a thing? Yes. Okay. Is love a thing? Yes. Is just about everything that you can name a thing? Yes. So if you can name the thing, then you get the thing. Are you with me? It's just, I wonder which things you allow in your life and which things you don't. Let's move on. He has freely given us all things. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? Is that you? It is God who does what? Are you justified? Justified, never sinned, right? Sanctified, whole, healed, innocent, acquitted, our words connected. Who is he who condemns? Is it Christ who died, or it is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen? Who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us? Stop. Let's think about this. So he died. So who's condemning you? Who's the one that speaks that you are not a supernatural being, a very son of God? It could be the enemy. It could be yourself. It could be that the enemy planted something in you and he left and you still continue to groom it or identify with it. So if the enemy is the one that condemns you or speaks evil of you or yourself does, what's happening here? What's happening inside of you? You haven't really set yourself as seated in heavenly places above this life. It hasn't actually become your reality yet, because it's Christ who died. It's Christ who is risen. And it's Christ who intercedes for you, saying, Father, these are my kids. These ones are here with us. I paid for them to be in here, and I believe in them, and I know they can do it. I know they're going to believe us, and I know they're walking it out, and I know they're going to become more than overcomers. They are going to walk in the supernatural realm and become my spotless, blameless, wrinkle-free bride. And that comes with us identifying with who we really are. Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Oh boy. Shall tribulation? How many people, when they had a terrible thing happen, not you, the other people out there on video land or in other places in the world, how many of them have you heard that when they lost a child to death, they said, God, where were you? When they lost a loved one to cancer, they said, God, where were you? When their child was molested, they say, God, where were you? When you all or they all got molested, God, where were you? Does tribulation separate you from the love of God? As we go through this list, you guys, don't just go, oh yeah, and be the bobblehead. Really, I'm talking about the genuineness of who you are. You are supernatural. You are a new creature. It never existed before Jesus passed away, or rather, was crucified. It never existed. But you have to know it's so. So tribulation, or distresses, or persecutions. So how many of you, if you start witnessing in public boldly, do you start worrying about persecutions? Like you're all alone out there and they're going to attack you, instead of God is leading you. You're one with him. Or famine. I'm telling you, a lot of people are worried about famine with the political scenarios that we have going on. People are storing up food, guns, all kinds of crazy things because they're really concerned about being left alone without any way of provision. Or nakedness, or peril, or even sword, which means death. Somebody actually killing you. I'm not saying any of us should look forward to any of these things, not by a long shot. But It doesn't change who you are. Jesus was beaten, scourged, bruised, pierced, nailed. I mean, he had it worse than any of us. But he knew what he was going through. You have to know what you're going through. Are you with me? You have to know what you're going through. So it doesn't change your perspective. Because if Jesus started hurting really bad, which I don't think anybody suffered more than he did, he could easily say, God, where are you? God, why have you abandoned me? God, why are you letting this happen to me? Haven't I loved you all my life? Haven't I served you fully? Aren't you my father? Why aren't you rescuing me from this? Why are you letting this happen? If he would have done that, you and I would have no entrance. He knew what he was doing. Do you know what you're doing? Are you supernatural, Son of God? For your sakes we were killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are what? More than conquerors. Yippee! I get to go through a whole lot of tribulation and I'll be a conqueror in the end. Yippee! I don't hear anybody singing that song on country westerns. I don't hear anybody dancing to that jig. No, 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 no. Most of us do not want troubles. Yes or no? And most of us, if we're having troubles, it's easy to think, what have I done wrong? What am I not doing right? What should I be doing that I'm not doing? Well, I hope I can nail that down for you today. More than conquerors, through him who what? Loved us. 38. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. How exciting is that? Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Is God love? And will he ever turn you loose? No matter what we go through, he will never turn you loose. So, like I said before, you're supernatural. You're a son and daughter of God. So let's back up a little bit. Because now that I've given you the harsh news, let's take the information that we really need so that we can walk through some stuff and not think something's wrong because we're walking through it. Okay? So, let me try to get some kind of an example. If you're a parent or a babysitter and you're out in the yard or walking around the neighborhood with a child, your child or a child you're responsible for, and a dog comes running out to bite that child, do you run and leave that child to be molested by the dog? Or are you willing to get between the child and the dog and possibly even take a bite yourself for that child? Yes or no? Why would you do that? She says love and protection. Out of the love and protection for that child. Can you all kind of agree with that? Right? So Jesus took the hit so we didn't have to. Yes or no? So if you have to walk through any type of tribulation or problem, why would you have to do that? Why would you do that? Why'd you be willing to do that? Because he did it for you. That's a very good answer. So listen, I hope I'm going to show you how to turn all this around. But when things don't go your way, it has nothing to do with whether God loves you, accepts you, or whether you will be filled with His everlasting glory. Okay? It has to do with stuff happens. Remember the tower that fell? And they go, were these guys evil worse than somebody else? No. They falls on the righteous and the unrighteous. Stuff happens, right? But good stuff happens to bad people and to good people too, right? The rain falls on the righteous and the unrighteous, right? So stuff happens. And we need to know that if we have to go find ourselves going through some stuff, it has nothing to do with our value or who we are or whether God loves and accepts us. Okay? Now, having said all that, I want to say this. Going back to 2 Corinthians 5:17, you are a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have been made new. Yes? Okay, jump back to Romans chapter 8. Verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Yes or no? So, how do you know if someone's a son of God? If they're led by the Spirit of God. Yes? Yes? Yes. So, if somebody is led by the flesh, are they walking as a son of God? If somebody's walking in condemnation, if somebody's walking in shame or guilt, are they being led by the Spirit of God? Because why? They're identifying with the what? The flesh. Okay? Romans chapter 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who no longer walk according to the flesh, but what? The Spirit. Right? So where does condemnation reside? In the flesh, right? So if you identify as being sinful or whatever that is not exactly like Jesus, it's death, right? Yes or no? So if you're going through tribulations and all those things as a flesh person, it's going to be horrible for you. Horrible. Because that's where all the fear is and the judgment is and the condemnation and the shame and all that stuff is in the flesh. So if you're walking through any of those terrible situations in the flesh, oh, it's where's God? God, where are you? Because you're alone. But if you have the Spirit of God in you, and you're fellowshipping with the Spirit of God, being led by the Spirit of God, now there's something special about you. Now you're walking as a son of God in this earth, supernatural. Now that's how you're seeing yourself. So now no matter where you're going through, you're like that parent who will get between the dog and the child, or the babysitter or the guardian that gets between the dog and the child. Why? Because you know something. You know you're responsible. You know you are. It's an automatic response. You'll get right between that dog and that child. You will protect that child the same way. When you know who you are in the Spirit, you will walk through tribulations. You will not be afraid of stuff that happens because you know who you are and what authority you have, no matter what you're walking through. It's a temporary thing because you know you're eternal and His glory far outweighs any trouble you're going to go through. Let me just show you. I'm going to read 14 again. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. So in other words, you didn't get, fear has nothing to do with you, right? Yes or no? Nothing to do with you. But you received the Spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. So the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit, what? That we are children of God. So you've got the Holy Spirit in you, if you're fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit now, quickening you and letting you know who you really are, always there, one with you, joined together, one spirit with him. You know where that is in the Bible? 1 Corinthians 6:17. You got that one? 1 Corinthians 6:17. Now he's talking about us living lives with prostitutes and other negative things, that we don't do that. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him, right? It's like if I have a swimming pool of water and I'm drinking a bottle of water, it's separate water. But if I pour my bottle of water in the swimming pool, it's one water now, right? So when he and I join together, we're one water. We're one spirit. There's no more separating us, right? We're joined together. So now we're one spirit with the Lord. We're new creations. We've been given the Spirit of God. We're an entirely different kind of beings. Now we're supernatural. Okay? So his Spirit is constantly bearing witness or talking to my spirit, reassuring me who I am and teaching me about how he operates, how God operates as the Spirit of God, who is power, who is life, who is the glory and presence of God. He is God. God is teaching me how to be like him. He's re-identifying me as being just like God, right? He's teaching me his ways. He's teaching me how to handle things from his perspective. We once knew Jesus according to the flesh, but we don't look at him that way any longer. Now we look at him as a resurrected Lord over all principalities and powers. Yes? Where you are in him, seated in heavenly places, over all principalities and powers. That's you, supernatural you. You're there. That's you. So, we're one spirit with the Lord. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. 17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed what? We rejoice and partied with him. No, what? Suffered with him that we may also be glorified together. Yes. Yes. Okay. She's saying, just for the video camera, she's saying there's a difference between being a co-heir and a joint heir, and her attorney husband is going to explain it to us quickly. He says a co-heir, you get a portion of the inheritance, okay? Because it's divvied out in portions to all equally. But he says as a joint heir, you get the entire portion. So in other words, both enjoy the totality. So all will enjoy the totality of sonship, all right? All of us get all of it. You don't get a piece. He doesn't get a piece. I don't get it. We all get all of it, is what he's saying. Very good point. Thank you for bringing that out. What verse did I leave off on, guys? 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffered with him, that we may also be glorified together. 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared. So, is there going to be sufferings in this life? You mean to tell me you might suffer in a few areas and having never done anything to deserve it? Okay. Is that all right? Not if you're in the flesh, it's not all right. If you're in the flesh, you wonder what's going on. I mean, it's like, God, where are you in all of this? Why'd you let this happen? If you're a good God and you love people, why did you do this? The flesh says that. Because it sees its life in the flesh as the full value of who it is. The flesh sees itself as the center of all, instead of one with God. The flesh doesn't know how to walk in oneness. It only knows how to cohabitate with others. It doesn't know how to really walk in oneness, but the Spirit does. Are you with me? It's not going to be compared to what? The glory which shall be revealed. Where? In us. In you personally. In you personally. In you personally. Listen. When we walk through stuff that is not what we chose, when it looks like it's trouble, when it looks like it's terrible, when we see it's devastating, if we know who we are when we are experiencing those things, it won't have the power over you. You will not be suffering the way a flesh carnal person suffers. Will it be fun? No. Will it be a tribulation? Yes. Will it be a suffering? Yes. But it's a suffering with purpose. With purpose. Not with tragedy. It's got a purpose. What is that purpose? When you realize it, okay, we want to finish in 9 minutes. Haven't even got to my point. All right, but this is important. You need to suffer. And until you understand the value of it, it won't work its significance in your life. It is wasted pain. Wasted sorrow, wasted misery, because you don't understand what it's there for. Hear me. You are everlasting. You are supernatural. You are a son of God. You are one spirit with God. What does the suffering let you do? It lets you detach from the flesh and walk and live and identify in the Spirit. It lets you transition from flesh and carnal to walking and inhabiting a spiritual reality where you will spend all eternity. So it's what lets you cut loose of your fleshly identity. Listen, this is so important because so many people suffer miserably wondering where God is and why he's letting this happen and why the devil's running roughshod over them. When you need to know that you are something very special to God. You are someone very special to God. And he has not pulled any punches, or he has pulled out all of the stops possible for you to experience the reality of who you are. But until you understand the purpose of evil and the devil in the world, it will be tragedy for you. But when you understand the evil one comes to test you, he comes to see where you're located. And when troubles come, they come to locate you. If you're in the flesh, misery. If you're in the spirit, rejoicing. Not rejoicing because of the suffering, rejoicing in the revelation of who you are in Christ. And when you really get it, it won't be that big a deal. Boxers box, yes or no? Do they get hit? Do they get beat up pretty darn bad? Why the heck would they do that? Because they know what the reward is. Do bodybuilders lift weights? Do they push their physical body to extreme limits? Do they have pains? Oh yeah. Do they get exhausted? Oh yeah. Do they sweat great pools of sweat? Oh yeah. Why would they do that to themselves? Because they know what the reward is. They know what exerting all of that energy and effort and suffering, what it gives them, what they get on the other side. Are you with me? What you get on the other side is so worth it. But you're not going alone. You're not going aimlessly into destruction and God's up there going, this is really good. I like the fact that they're suffering so much. No. The devil will do that. Evil will do that. The flesh will be traumatized by it. But you know, no matter what you walk through, no matter what it is, it can't touch you. You're seated in heavenly places above all principalities and powers, and that's who you are. You're supernatural. You're a son of God. You're the bride of Christ. You forever and always will be. So this trouble that we walk through, these sufferings that we walk through, they are to strengthen you. They are to prove to you who you are. And if children, then heirs, 17, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of creation. So this word creation is the same word that you're a new one. You're a new one. You're a new creation, a new creature. Same word. Okay? So let me just pause on this for a moment. Darn it. Got so much to say still. The creation that you were is the same creation as a horse or a dog or as the world is. You were once the same stuff, right? So therefore you were in it. So whenever you had to deal with creation, you had to deal with it as creation to creation, person to person, right? Flesh to flesh. Right? Natural to natural. That's how you dealt with it. So it was always going to be a tussle because you're just on the same footing as this world is on. Therefore, you're subject to the weather. You're subject to whatever the moods are. You're subject to the things of this world because you're of this world. But when Jesus relocated you to the heavenlies, he made you a different type of a creation. He gave you authority over this creation. So now he took you out of the mix of things. So no longer are you relating to people and this world as one of them. You are one of God now. You're one with God. So now you're relating to them as Christ when he walked on the earth supernaturally, empowered by the Holy Spirit. The way he dealt with people is the way you and I deal with them now. Did you earn that? Did you do something to deserve that? Did you somehow act right enough that it started happening to you? Did you grow up and then finally matured into it? No. You didn't do any of that. It's simply who you are now. It just is the truth. But if you're still judging yourself according to the flesh, then you haven't proved it yet. Because now you're still trying to deal with fleshly things from a fleshly point of view. You've forgotten who you are. Verse 19, for the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of you. Everything of this world is waiting for the revealing of you. How many of you said you were sons of God because the Spirit of God leads you? So this whole world is waiting for you to be revealed to it. Just like it did for Jesus. It's waiting for you to reveal yourself, a son of God, a supernatural being, to it. For the creation was subject to futility. That's obscurity. Inutility. Useless. Empty. Not willingly. The world wasn't done. It didn't choose to do that. There was a reason for it, though. But because of him who subjected it in what? In hope. What was God's hope? Why would he let the world, verse 20, why would he let the world go through this and subject the world to this? Because he had hope. He had a hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of who? The children of God. God let this world be subject to futility, uselessness, obscurity, darkness, because he had a hope that you and I would realize who we are as sons of God, one with the Holy Spirit, and set this world free. Till you arise and shine and walk as a son of God, a supernatural being, a son of God. The time of us thinking small, thinking we don't have it, thinking God's going to use somebody better than I, please cross that off your chalkboard and erase it. We read it. It's waiting for you. The world is waiting for you personally. He's not waiting for somebody else. So as you are a son of God, so I'm going to jump ahead only because I want you to get to lunch. I'm just going to jump ahead. You guys read this on your own. But look at verse 29. I've read this before, but I think it might have more impact now. For whom he foreknew, that's God knew, foreknew. Well, let me just go to 28. Sorry, I'm going to go up to 28 and come down. Every bit of it is so good, but I'm going to start in verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good, even the bad things, to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. What's his purpose? What's his hope? What was his hope? That you would be revealed as a supernatural son or daughter of God. So all these things work together according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined. What? To be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Listen, goes on to talk about that we're justified. His whole hope is for you to realize there's absolutely no difference between Jesus when he walked on the world, baptized in the Holy Spirit with power. There's no difference between him and you. Absolutely none. Now it's up to you to believe God and walk it out. And if you're waiting for something to happen to convince you, you're not in the Spirit yet. You need to read your Bible. You need to pray in the Holy Spirit. You need to sing songs of rejoicing. You need to build yourself up in your most holy faith. You have to speak into the heavenlies. You have to pray for people. You have to speak life over people, and you need to be. I'm going to give you one last verse. Go to Romans 13, verse 14. And it says this, "But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts." You put on Jesus. It also says that all of the generations before us eagerly waited to have and to see what we have. That we have the glory of God inside of us. And I've told you my testimony. I have seen that glory increase in me, and the love and the joy that comes with it, and the fact that this world is a dream compared to what the life of Christ really is. This is practice ground for us to identify with who we are, knowing that as we walk through these things, it's to separate us from a flesh identity to a spirit identity, so that we can shine as sons and daughters of God. And this whole world is waiting for you to reveal the truth to it. This is hard. This is a big bite. But you guys are big enough to handle it. It's a big bite. I know it is. It's always in front of us and we always read it. But until somebody really lays it out for us, it's easy to just read and go on, you know. Oh, yeah, that's true. And go on. But to really own it. It takes some work to renew our minds. Because what we're doing is we're actually changing how we see ourselves. We're actually realizing that what I've always believed about myself was a lie. And the rules that I lived by were a bondage. And they were actually keeping me smaller than what Christ died to make me and you. So I encourage you. If you need to pray, pray. If you need to fast, fast. If you need to sing, sing. If you need to shout, shout. If you need to get quiet and meditate, get quiet and meditate. But I encourage you to do all of those things. And really practice. Really step out. Listen, it's not you. You don't qualify. So when you pray, it's the Spirit in you that prays. When you pray for somebody, be led by God and just do it. And let the Spirit who's in you do it. Don't put it on you. And you speak life over yourself. Speak life over yourself. Amen? Because it says that mortality is going to be swallowed up by life. It also said here, I'm going to quit. I can go on for 2 more hours. I'm not kidding. This is important stuff, but I'm going to quit. You what?
We'll have you
again. Thank you. So I know that we have an appointment that we want to keep, but I love you guys. And I just ask that you really take this Bible seriously. It will help you. Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for everyone that's watching online and everyone that's here in this room, Lord. And I thank you for the revelation that you're sharing with us, Father. Father, I ask again that you would open our minds and our hearts to be able to embrace the truth of who you are and who you've made us to be. That we can walk, that we can prove to ourselves you are exactly who you said you are. The good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God be manifest in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.